Hi, my name is Rob, and this is my weekly podcast. Each week, I sit down with a different guest, and we talk about things that you have been up to in the fandom. Are we going to talk about everything? Of course not. It's only an hour. Will we communicate effectively? It's a wheel of time. Probably not. But will we have fun? Most definitely. Welcome to Malkir's Wrap-Up. Hello, folks. Welcome back to Malkir's Wrap-Up. Continuation of episodes coming out every week. I'm getting better at this, folks. It's almost like I've organized things properly for a change. This week, I'm joined by a very talented man, a very kind man, and someone that I surprised amongst many people, but like probably one of the biggest reactions, not the biggest reaction, but one of the biggest reactions at WattCon when I turned up there last year or early this year and had told not a lot of people, but some people. Please welcome to the podcast, Spud Monkeys. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing good. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I had to bring that into the intro, like when
very gracious intro, the talented part. But yeah, you very well surprised me. There, you know, being a first con and stuff like that, you know, you want to look out for security blankets and stuff like that. And
oh,
just seeing you there, it was like it was amazing. It was fun.
Well, thank you. No, it was great to see you too there. Obviously, I was keeping it a surprise because I was trying to surprise Grace, and I did successfully achieve that. But in the process, some people had to know for organizational reasons. I was on two panels, one of which I was running, the Malkyrie Meme-Off. So there were people that had to know for logistical reasons. Jessica Sadai, big shout out to her for helping me, you know, get timings and things like that. But yeah, I was, a lot of people was like, oh my God, Rob, you came. But Jeff, you were like kind of ecstatic about it. I was like, wow. Okay. So yeah, it was, many people made me feel welcome, but that was definitely probably the most animated welcome that I got.
Now the one that I foisted myself upon, and I don't know if I need to apologize or not, but, carpooling to, WattCon. I carpooled with Gremlins of Chaos, Rajesh, and Alyssa. And when I saw Rajesh, right, he had been so big part of me getting into the fandom that I just kind of like went for the hug, and I didn't ask if it was okay or anything like that. So, sorry, Maury, if that was.
I believe the King of Chat is okay with hugs. Can't remember. I've met him a few times now, so like that question has been and gone, and I never remember. But yeah, Maury, King of Chat, he's a great guy. Always fun to see him. Always fun to see everyone. But yeah, I didn't realize you carpooled with them. Like, did you bump into each other at the airport? Was that a prearranged thing?
We were just messaging, I think everybody was trying to time their flights, and hey, if your flight's coming in this time, these are the group of people who will be there. And so we're just constantly trying to, oh, my flight's delayed. Oh, now it's back on. You know how air travel is. So.
Yeah, air travel is an experience that is, I've done a lot of flying over the years. So yeah, that's a thing. Now, Spuds, I know you a little bit, and we've had you on Threefold Talk as well, which, folks, if you're not familiar, that's my weekly YouTube show that I do with a bunch of wonderful ladies, all IEO themed. We had Spuds on there just after Whattober. For all his beautiful artistic renditions from the prompts. But if folks aren't familiar with you, don't run around Twitter or haven't like been able to get to a con and meet you, tell us a little bit about yourself, Spuds.
Oh gosh, what is there to know about me?
Lots of good stuff, folks. Lots of good stuff.
I mean, just personally, I'm probably one of the older fans. I wouldn't say, you know, when the original, I know, Rob, you weren't in on the originalist. I was listening to your casts earlier, but when I put myself out as OG, I meant it as old guy. So,
well, he doesn't look like an old guy, folks. So,
yeah, thank you. That was enough though. The word originalist guy, that was enough to get me on a block list on Twitter, which is fine by me.
What, you got blocked for using that term?
Narg, I am sure everybody's familiar with them, went around.
Yeah, you're not missing out there.
Yeah, if you had the word that word buzzing around that time, you're out, which is fine.
Wow.
But let's see. I grew up in Oregon. I met at the con Aradipedia. She's from Oregon as well. Moved out to Colorado some 20 plus years ago. So I've been out here. This is where I've raised my boys. I'm a single dad. My job is to get the boys out of the house alive. So I got one out. He's in the Army. My second one, why I was able to draw and stuff like that. He's 16. He finally got his driver's license, and now I'm not the taxi driver.
Nice. I bet that's a wonderful feeling.
It's nice to have that free time, that extra hour and a half a day that you're like, I need to do something with that time.
Nice. So. And then there's one more, did you say?
The what? No, just the two boys.
Oh, for some reason, I thought you said three. My apologies.
No.
Two is enough.
Yeah, two is enough.
Well, folks, you did hear him talking about drawing it, which we will get to later if you're not familiar. But thank you for sharing that. I've only been to Colorado once, and it was probably 8-9 years ago, something like that. Went round to see my friend. I think we went to – did we go to Boulder? We went up to somewhere up the peaks. I forget the name now.
Pike
Damn
City,
it.
Maybe? I don't know. Who knows?
Where's my laptop? There's a sticker on my laptop with it. One second. Hold, please. We went up to... I got to open the laptop. It's inside the laptop. Breckenridge. There we go. Breckenridge.
Yes. That is in the mountains a little ways. A little nice little ski town.
Yeah, it was crazy. There was like no snow in Denver. And then we went up the mountain and I was like, it's feet thick. It's quite a difference.
That's a big secret here. Everybody thinks it's like all cold and snowy here all the time. And it's like over 300 days of sunshine here. So it snows, it melts off pretty quick. And it's a dry cold too. So it doesn't, it doesn't hit you as hard. So
I can agree with that. And, the elevation, I mean, I'm not the most fit of people. And I was like, why am I out of breath walking down the street?
It's funny, I've seen recently in like some of the touristy shops, they sell those oxygen canisters where you can like.
Yeah, I can believe that. I can absolutely believe that. So I love that. So one of the questions I like to ask a lot of people, Jeff, is I love this because I keep looking at your background, folks. When I record, my guests and I were on video together, so I can see Jeff's lovely face. I can see his beautiful Christmas tree in the background. And I keep looking over your shoulder. And I'm like, he's got Wheel of Time playing in the background because he is a good wheelie. He binges Wheel of Time even when he's not watching it. And I can just see Moraine and Rand in the background. Clearly, this is the episode after after she's like gone stabby stab on Lanthir, which is great. But speaking of Wheel of Time, how did you find Wheel of Time, Spuds? Like, how did it come into your life?
Oh, I found Wheel of Time, I'm going to say it was in 92. Kind of my, just to backtrack a little bit, some of my, I guess, my family wasn't really a big reading family. Well, no, my mom was, the rest of my family wasn't, and it was a large family. But my mom read those, like, Dan Steele or Nora Roberts romance novel type stuff, and so... I think as a kid, I read kind of older fantasy, like the Chronicles of Narnia or mm-hmm. Hobbit and Lord of the Rings at a younger age. And then I think the only other thing I got into in high school was the Shannara books a little bit, but really, again, not really much exposure. So, but in 92, I started dating someone whose folks lived in the town that we went to university at. So I was from out of town, you know, staying in an apartment or dorms or whatever. And she had her folks there. And so I went over to hang out with her folks every once in a while. and he had this whole big bookshelf full of science fiction fantasy. And she was reading a lot of Anne McCaffrey at the time. And so we pulled some of those books, but her dad was like, any of these books you want to borrow, just borrow in, you know, anyone, just, you know, bring them back, whatever. And so Wheel of Time was one of those books on the shelf. And so I grabbed it, and it's probably in, and he'll never, nobody will ever watch, he'll never watch this podcast. It's the one book I did not give back.
So oh, wow. Does he realize you never gave it back? I mean, obviously he won't hear it on the podcast, but
no. I don't think he realizes it at all. He had, wow, like I said, a lot of science fiction, a lot of fantasy books up there. So he was just consuming, and I don't think he went circled back on anything.
Right. Fair enough. And you were like instantly hooked, or it was a slow burn?
You know, this is an oddity with me, and I know some people did this with this book as well, but this is for me with all books. I start reading a book, and I'll read probably the first 3 or 4 chapters, and then I'll put it down for like 3 or 4 months.
Wow.
And then I'll pick it back up, I'll start over, and then I'll blast right through it. So it was that way with, I read some Guy Gabriel K at the beginning of the year. It was the same way with Mistborns. When I read the Mistborns, it's just, I start, put it down. And I think it has to do with absorbing the world, absorbing the rhythm of the author. Just it's getting myself exposed to a change up. I mean, going from book to book is different, mm-hmm. but starting a whole new series, it's like I always almost religiously set it down for 3 months.
Wow. I have never heard of anyone reading in such a way. So if you did a first time reader podcast, you'd be you'd be terrible, wouldn't you? initially, but then after,
yes,
that, yeah.
Yes. Come back like, to me in 3 months.
Yeah, here's 4 episodes, and then I'll see you in 3 months, folks, and we'll do 4 episodes again of the same chapters. That would be an interesting concept. But I bet you people out there would love it. So, but yeah, so you just kind of like worked through as they came out after that, I suppose.
Yeah. Since I started in 92 ish, probably 92, 93 ish, I believe I probably caught up pretty quick. It's been a hot minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had to wait for them to come out. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me of something I interacted with someone on Twitter about today. And they are on, they're a first time reader. I forget the lady's name, but she's someone, I don't know if she runs Collider, is it Collider magazine, Collider website? I don't know, whatever. She works there at the very least. And she's doing a first time read through. And she was talking about Fires of Heaven. I was like, oh my God. And then I think she said something about the slog.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, she's like, oh, we'll find out when we get to slog, what it's like, or, you know, so on and so forth. And I said, well, I don't think the slog exists for reasons I can't explain to you until you finish because of spoilers, because my explanation contains spoilers, which I find on this podcast, but obviously I don't want to spoil her read through. Sure. Does having been someone who waited for the books to come out, do you think the slog exists? Do you think it's real? What's your opinion on it?
My feeling is, for me, it does kind of exist. I know it's a cop-out answer. It does kind of exist, but not really. I think a lot of it had to do with waiting the 2+ years or whatever it was in between books. It took a while for a couple of those books to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But Jordan was exploring a lot of storylines, and he didn't exactly end on beats or resolve things at the end of books. So he did leave things hanging. So that could be slog-ish. But I mean, if you have access to the next book, just go to the next book. It's more story. I know people like, oh yeah, you can abridge all this and get, you know, blow by this and stuff like that. And it's fine. I like more content honestly.
That's fair. I also, by the time I caught up with the books, I didn't start till about 2000-ish, but by the time I caught up to the books coming out, they were the quote slog books by the time I caught up. I think the first book of the slog came out around 2000, and I trawled through these books and got like fully up to date within, I don't know, 6-8 months, maybe 9 months, something like that. So I also had to wait for the books to come out. I didn't feel like it was a slog. So yeah, it's interesting. I might add that to my question repertoire as we go through now. Like, hey, does the slog exist?
I think the advantage I had over you, because I know you as well, or have listened to you quite a bit, is that I had someone through the slog to dialogue with and bounce things off of. I don't remember at what point, but I pulled my older brother into the world and he went nuts on it. And, I'd probably go on to the Wattmania or Dragonmount or Tarvalon, websites, but he'd be the one posting because he just had to ask the questions. He had to get, stir things up.
I love that. And now was he in the live chat during Threefold Talk, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yes.
You probably noticed he started I think his first tact was to start asking questions about the series and where it was going to go and what people thought of. And it's like, so I wanted to say, hey, dude, it's not that kind of show. Not that you couldn't talk about it, but.
No, yeah, we were having different discussions and other fun. But yeah, it did make me laugh. We were like, wait, is this Jeff's brother in chat right now? What's going on here? So.
Yeah, and but, you guys came to my rescue and started calling him Joy.
yes, Joy. Yeah, it was. Well, brothers, man. I've got three of them. I know what they're like. So, I'm glad you had someone to chat to. I think I've said it a couple places here and there. The place that I remember someone asking me detail about it was on the Lights Work podcast when I was a guest on there. They asked me. Well, they didn't ask me specifically about whether I had someone to read it with or to talk to about, but they asked me why I do what I do. And that was the reason, because I'd spent 20 years with no one to share it with. So, it's nice that you've got that. Like now I have that. I kind of, I kind of wish that I'd had it before, but it's also nice to be it led me to be the over exuberant person that I am when it comes to Wheel of Time. But yeah, a lot of fun. Going back to your brother quickly, is he jealous that you're on Threefold Talk, that you're the one that people want to talk to? Does he lurk Twitter? Does he lurk other shows? Or is it just that one-off that we just saw Joy and he's never coming back?
He's aware of the fandom. He's not on Twitter. He's aware of YouTube shows. He's aware of Dusty Wheel, obviously. I think that's the... He knows, I guess, Dusty Wheel, John from What Up, and Lesbian Nerdy, I think, Lauren and both reading the pattern and unraveling the pattern. I think that's the extent of his shows that he knows. Now he knows your show. Because I told him, hey, I'm on this.
But I love
He has four kids he chases around and stuff like that. And unless he's dialoguing with me, when the show's out. I swear he's calling me every day saying, hey, what do you think? Any new content come out? What do you think about this and this and this? I'm like, it's just like, dude, you called me yesterday. I think we covered.
Wow. So he's the one that gets real intense around showtime. That's hilarious.
Yeah. But no, he's not. I just dragged in my younger brother into Twitter. So I think my only family into the fandom, I guess, currently. So,
right. Well, that's cool. I love the fact that you just mentioned getting your brother into Twitter there, because my next question is a little. Actually, I might not ask that yet. We might save that one for the moment. Actually, so let's chat about we'll go chat about the characters and things like this. Obviously your brother being passionate is quite funny. I'm sure he's got a lot to say on this one. I'm not a massive fan of Egwene. I keep saying this. It's not that I hate Egwene, it's just I'm just like, yeah, she's kind of like for me. And a lot of people were like, oh, Rob, we can't be friends anymore. Obviously joking. But people are surprised when they find out that I'm not overly fond of Egwene, shall we say. Is there a character from Wheel of Time that you are not a fan of or not really into that you think people will be surprised to hear? Like a fan favorite or anything like that?
I'll go book and show.
Okay.
I don't know about surprised because I've heard the opinion before. especially when I first read the book series, Nynaeve was very hard for me to palate. She was just a buzzkill, mm-hmm. and she was just, it was like, get her out of the room. She's wrecking it for everybody. She's trying to chase people down. She's jealous of this or that. She's incompetent in these ways. And she just annoyed me when I was younger. I know there's been discussions about how people, when they get older and they do rereads and they see things from different perspectives, characters change for them. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, Nynaeve does. But I wanted to listen to the next couple books, because I know there should be show chatter about, books 4 and 5. And so just listening to where she's at in those, at the start books, I can see the parent figure coming out of her and wanting to take care of the kids, but she starts going on to her own journey. That's where she becomes that a little bit. I don't know if I want to use the word petty. She just chases after the wrong things for the wrong reasons, I guess.
Right. Fair enough.
Show. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. If you didn't say it, I was going to like segue, but and the show.
Okay. And the show, I wanted to like this character. He looks awesome in his photos. I think Elias is just a dick in the show. Don't be ridiculous. He'll tell you his name when he feels like he's going to tell you his name. It's like, dude, back off. Nurture a little.
Wow.
We got a reluctant hero and we got a reluctant mentor. I mean, just great.
Reluctant. I can see where you're coming from. It works for me. Because I have to remember Elias isn't around people very often.
True.
So, and the way he communicates with the wolves, you get a better understanding of what the other person, or in this case, the other creature is thinking and meaning when they're talking, communicating with you. So when he talks to, Perrin or anyone else, he's not sure of how to communicate effectively and doesn't do it very often. And so, yeah, it works for me, but I can see he is grumpy. He's a grumpy guy, isn't he?
He's just blunt and grumpy.
He's blunt and grumpy, yeah. That's fair. That's fair.
I'll give him the pass. He does not talk to humans that much, but
no, blunt and grumpy is a good descriptor there. That really works. So that fits. Okay. So not an overwhelming fan of Nynaeve, and definitely not enjoying Elias, but
I want to. I mean, we'll get more Elias, right?
I hope so. Maybe. Fingers crossed. Gary Beadle's a very good actor. He's done a lot of things here in the UK. So, I hope that's the case. So the other thing I like to ask people, and I'm sure this is going to be a tough one because I've heard you talk about things like this in the past, multiple things around this theme of question. And, but I'm going to ask it anyway. There are many, many things about Wheel of Time that we all love, and they lead us to, go and see each other, meet each other, go to events together, have experiences together. They become very memorable and very meaningful for us all. Is there a favorite moment of all the things you've experienced because of Wheel of Time that stands out for you? Be like, this is, I met this person, or I went to this place, or, had this experience with, people just personally, whatever it might be. Is there a moment around Wheel of Time you're like, this is like a real highlight for me?
Oh, I think the moments grow and they become bigger each time you see them. I know I told you before show, Wad Idol's probably my most favorite fandom event. And then I, followed up by Wad Holiday. I'll let you do a shameless plug if you need, but,
I will do it. When this episode comes out, unless I release it early, I might have to try and release it early.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, because my episodes normally drop on Sundays, okay. But that'll be like during What a Holiday.
Wasn't that a great What a Holiday, everyone? I can't believe they did that.
That was incredible, wasn't it? Oh my God, Rosamund Pike and Rafe at the same time? You know? No, don't get your hopes up, folks. I did not have Rosamund Pike or Rafe, let alone at the same time.
They're on either end of the show, not at the same time. So, you
know. My God, I think I'd die.
But no, so watching What Isle, you know, interacting in general, it's kind of fun to see people buzz and contribute and do things. And then it rolled into the What Idol and seeing all these people contribute and make things and the talented and the untalented just getting excited and just throwing it together and people supporting each other no matter what. And so that was kind of a cool experience. And then What a Holiday came along, and I watched a lot of that. I kind of napped through it.
Yeah, I have. I read it, and I have to nap. I was like, it's 24 hours, man.
Your Iron Soldier in that one was Dana Luhu, Zool.
Yeah, Zool. I think Zool was there for about 22 hours of it or something ridiculous.
She was a warrior because she was always there. Mm-hmm. But just being able at that point, I was able to contribute a little bit, you know, heal here's and there's, and it felt a little more that I'm interacting with the fandom all of a sudden. And then turn of the year, the Lights Work starts up, and that made me feel like I was on the start end of something, and they were talking about the fandom and what makes it great. And what really resonated with me was the personalities everybody had. And, you know, the first episode, I'm like, oh man, I'm so much like Grace. And then Anas comes on and I'm like, man, I'm so much like him. And then the next episode is Brian. And it's like, whoa, I'm so much like Brian. It just kind of that seeing each other in different pieces and parts of the fandom, just that was kind of fun. But I guess to top it off was a lot con just seeing and being able to meet people, put, you know, conversation and just physical presence to some of the people you've chatted to online. But one of the hard things about WattCon is there's not enough time.
Mm-hmm.
Some people I met with or got to talk to a little bit more than others, and I had great conversations with those people, but you don't have enough time to have those great conversations with everybody you want to, and then, let alone meet the people that you haven't met. So, you know, I've heard, I went back and listened to, I used to be up on your podcast, and I just caught back up for the most part. I didn't listen to today's, but.
That's fine. I've been very sporadic with them. And yeah. Then I was like, I cut it back before Wheel of Time came out for season two, and I was like, right now I've got to do it properly again because I love podcasting. It's how I started. So yeah, don't worry, it's a very sporadic thing at some points.
No, it's all good. But you know, just realizing that there are people there that you've interviewed, and I'm like, well, they were there, why didn't I meet them? Oh yeah, I didn't have enough time because there was just, you know, so much you can do.
Yeah,
but I exploded your question. I made it like
that's forever. Totally fine. I believe. Now I've started. I have used this multiple times as a noun. You graced it though. That's the terminology, isn't it? Like when you pick more than one, you've graced it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I am familiar with that.
Yes. But no, those are all great things. What Idol is an incredible thing. I've entered every year just for fun. I've done worse every year. I don't know if that's because I'm getting worse or everyone else is getting better and I'm still the same. I don't know.
I think it's fun regardless.
Yeah, there is a lot more entering. There's more talent. Yeah, I have a lot of fun regardless. So it's not a problem. What a Holiday is like my baby. I absolutely adore What a Holiday. Andrew and Cheyenne always be like, Rob is the hero, and I'm like, I do actually do about 99% of the work just because I just do it. And I check in with them, be like, hey, we're going to do this. They're like, that sounds good. Or they sometimes give me like, you know, they send checks things. But yeah, one holiday is so much fun. This year, I'm not doing it from home. For a combination of things, I've got some friends in from America in London this coming weekend. And so I've arranged to go see them because I haven't seen them, either of them, in years. So I'm going to catch up with them for a day. And then I'm hoping to go to an acting class on the 6th that Hamad is running. There's a drop-in acting class in London.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
So, yeah, I'm hoping to run off and do that. And I thought to myself, why take a trip down to London to see my friends on the 1st and then dash back on the 2nd after because we're going to stay overnight and then they fly out. Why dash back to then go back on the 6th? You know, because I had to dash back to do what a holiday. And so I chatted with Sudan and I was like, Can I do it from yours? Like, can I come hang out? And she's like, fuck yeah. So I'm actually going to go to Sulan's. I'm going to drag like some of my stuff, my equipment, not a huge amount of it, but some of it, you know, take the Uruguay Street sign, you know, obviously camera, mic, things like that. And yeah, I'm going to do it from Becky's for the weekend. So that's, yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. We have some amazing things, Spuds. I'm so excited
to watch.
Obviously the map that everyone signed at WattCon yes. that Weekly Wheel News put together, one of a kind because there's a typo on it somewhere. We've got that. Andrew's doing the Frosted Mug giveaway that he does every year. That's extremely generous of him. We have the Snack Water calendar that Taylor is going to sign for us to auction off. And then Brandon is throwing out a couple of things. I don't want to say what they are just yet because they haven't been fully confirmed. So I don't want to make promises we can't keep. Yeah, and it's just going to be chaos and fun. So I can't wait to see that, to just achieve all that. But yeah, conventions, they just disappear. I turn up on Wednesdays now to conventions, even though they don't start till Friday, just so I get more time with people.
My brother, my older brother, Joy, wants to possibly come to a convention with me. And I'm like 10% Malkier Con, 45% WattCon again. I'm not sure if it's in the cards for me. I got inconsistencies in my life that I don't know if I can get across the pond, but there are so many people. I mean, there's just so many people over there that I want to meet and see. And
some of us make it across. It depends for a range of folks. Some of them are easier than others. So for example, Uno makes Jordan Con, has done, they've made it a few years now, or a couple of years, sorry. But like, they could never bring Aggie, because Aggie's a school teacher.
Right. So
Agnor is a school teacher, that sounds scary.
the mad scientist. No.
He's a scientist as well, like a science teacher. It's not just like, you know, he's not teaching history or anything, he's teaching science. It's fucking brilliant. So he could never come for Jordan Con. But I think they're looking, the two of them, to come to WattCon, for example. Right. You know, and
so, yeah, Jordan Con's for me, same. I got kids in school, and so
yeah,
I'm a single parent. So you know, what do you do? It's like
you're like grandparents
and what's in the middle of the school year, but
yeah, it's tough. So yeah, getting around can be difficult. Nils makes it around. Roger gets around to the cons. Not as much as you'd like, you know, but like getting back and forth, I totally understand that, you know, but spending time with people is just so lovely at the conventions. People.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I end up doing less panels than I ever, I think I do. JohnCon, I think I average 3 or 4 panels a year. WattCon this year, I think I was on 2 of them. Like I said, I ran one, I was on another one. And then I think I attended 2 others. And that was a lot. I was like, wow, I did 4 panels. That's impressive. And then obviously there's the main stage content. But
as a first time goer, if you don't know where your footing is and you're not sure of things, I volunteered for quite a few panels, and I'd suggest that for anybody trying to dip their toe in. The volunteering just, it pulls you in, and it's fun.
You did actually. I remember you were running around with the mic at the shipping one. I remember that actually. Okay. Yeah.
I think I almost had one every block.
that sounds like you, Spud. You're very generous. So but yeah, those are some wonderful moments you picked from, and I hope we continue to get many, many more moments in that. So lovely. I feel like we know you a little better now. We'll ask some more questions later. But shall we chat about, I don't know, has the fandom been up to anything this week? I feel like it's been a quiet week for the fandom, hasn't it?
It's been a very quiet week. I've heard you kind of mention fandom stuff on previous casts. I'm like racking my brain. I know all the old stuff, but what's new?
It's like a calm before the storm. I always get worried about these moments because, like, are they just taking a breath because shit's going to go down? Right? It's the holidays. It's been Thanksgiving, in America. Who knows what they're up to? Maybe they're just waiting for what a holiday. Maybe they're just saving all their energy for that. So that's very possible, I suppose. The Wheel of Time did just tweet half an hour ago. So let's see what they tweeted. Someone called Lycat Sunflower, Lycat Sedai, or Lisa, is what their name is. Okay, this time through, I'm overwhelmingly struck by how sympathetic I am with Ishmael. Like, I don't want to join the dark, but that man just needs some real loyal friends and peace. And the official Wheel of Time account has replied, our toxic trait is thinking that we can fix him. No, knowing we can fix him. All right, that's fun. God. But yeah, even they've been quiet recently, the Wheel of Time. They've not done a huge amount. They've just been like, putting out the pictures of behind the scenes and little clips and things like that.
And then after the season, didn't the Twitter of Chaos kind of go on hiatus, said, I'll be gone?
Now, that was interesting because some people, they did a Twitter thread and it was it a Twitter thread? I think it was a Twitter thread where it kind of ended implying that they'd quit or were done and were not being the Twitter of Chaos anymore. How did you take that?
I took it as they're done for now. I didn't take it as they're done for good.
Right.
I don't know, and I'm not going to pry this or try and poke around. I do know the Twitter cast was possibly cited in Prague. And I don't know. I don't know what vibe they had there, but...
When you say cited in Prague, do you mean the trips that a few of us were lucky to go on?
Yeah, there's intimation that they were there. They weren't supposed to... They don't want... And I know the anonymity, if I can speak, is part of the fun of the Twitter of Chaos. So I don't want to wreck that. But to me, it feels like they're still engaged. I don't think they're signing off. The season's come to end. There's no reason for them to ramp up anything until there's something to ramp up.
So, that's fair. Yeah, I didn't take it as they were leaving, but I did see a few people get concerned about it and, get a little worried because they're very, very cool. Like the previous He Who Tweets with the Dawn, were you around on Twitter when the social media person was there? He Who Tweets with the Dawn?
I think so. I can't
remember when they switched out.
I came in at the beginning of season one. They started putting out teasers. I came in into Twitter by John from Wad Up. I was watching his videos and he's like, hey guys, on Twitter, there's this group of people. And so that's kind of how I checked things out. And it was just before the first season, they started revealing some pictures and items and stuff like that. Like this is what the guitar looks like. Here's their hair mark blade.
Oh, I remember those videos. Yeah.
So
yeah, they were fun for people to freak out about. as for whether they were in Prague or not, I am not going to answer.
I wasn't trying to pry, but that's fine. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I will say there were members of the social media team there. But whether they are this Twitter of Chaos or not, I cannot extrapolate. So I feel like I'm, I don't know, talking in code or CIA or some shit right now. Schrodinger's cat, isn't it?
We'll move on before you get in trouble, right?
I'm not going to actually reveal. It's fun to joke about, so.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Did you, so obviously, you know, let's chat about that, because I know I've done a few bits here and there. I talked about the stunt work that we saw, or I've in between work, I've been throwing together some fun reels and things like that, of pictures and stuff, but I haven't actually released like my videos of the trip to Prague, but, I know that Nablus released his, and, Crit has been putting up loads of stuff, like, you know, trips and things like, you know, on TikTok and stuff. Have you watched much of the stuff? Like, have you seen what, some of the things that we got up to in Prague?
I have to circle back and see. I think I watched Nablus's first video. He's wearing an Ohio State shirt or something like that. An Ohio, some sort of Ohio shirt or something, I thought.
He probably was. I had to block that out, you know.
I think I've seen some of your video. I'm not sure. I don't know. I've seen bits and pieces, and I don't know if I've seen everything, so I need to go back and see. That's kind of just to kind of go back on some of my, you know, who I am or whatever. That's something I would be totally geeking out on.
Right.
Throughout the 90s, especially, I built a ton of props, a ton of sets. I was involved in only the costume room in the sense I was making props like banners or something like that. But you know, I was just always around that culture and those people and just the chatter, and just seeing the behind the scenes stuff always just is fun for me. So just knowing and hearing you guys talk about it, and like driving on a golf cart through all the props, or you're going through. So when you went through Tarvalon and through the hallways and stuff like that, did you get to the little battle arena where they had their little sword fights, or was that closed off?
Oh, so the go-karting bit with the golf carts bit was to get us from like section to section, because it's like a giant, huge warehouse or warehouses, and it's like to walk between these spaces would take you a long time. So they stuck us on little golf carts going around. Some of the Amazon team were better drivers than others. That was funny. These things did not corner well. Some of them were not prepared for how badly they cornered. It was hilarious. But yeah, we could visit the stunt space where they work out and practice the stunts for previs, things like that, where they could be done internally.
Your stunt video. I think it was yours, right?
Yeah, that was. I put that on Threefold Talk because I got to meet Magdalena at that. Which was just an absolute surprise and a joy. She was so lovely. And then they, that was close to where we were for, I think they're like the wigs, the wig section. So then we got to go walk around that. And then I think they drove us one short little trip, and then that's where we're costuming with Sharon Gillum. And she was incredible. She wouldn't shut up.
You know, I would. That's where I'd be geeking out, because I took those classes where you put this in because this influences this, and this is why this is designed this way, type of thing. And
she was amazing. And that was like the internal, almost like the novice quarters of the Tarvalon sets and stuff. Not actual novice quarters, but it wasn't like the the sisters, you know, the corridors and things like that. Next to the wig section was the Amelin study. Unfortunately, it's blurry, but there was a picture of me sat in the ambulance, like office chair. But it came out blurry, which I was really, really upset about. And I haven't trawled for everyone else, because we all shared our photos to each other. I haven't trawled for the others to see if anyone else got that shot. And I'm 99% sure that I was the only person, like my camera was the only one used to take that shot of me in that seat. Really frustrating, but never mind. The costuming was all set up in like the lower sections of the tower. So there was like a lot of like small off rooms and stuff like that. But, that was really interesting. And then they drove us off to the Tarvalon set. That was an outdoor set that we didn't get to see the little sand pit where they were working with swords and stuff like that. That must be another set within the studios there. The Tarvalon section was actually like an outdoor set, and it was full of Shanchan soldiers as well, which was absolutely hilarious. I think I've said this before, but and I will say it in the video when I finally get it together, afterwards we were leaving, and the members of the social team came to us. We were in the car and they're chatting away, and I think it was Kylie and Dan were the two in our car or with us. Yeah, they came around with us and they said, we might need your help, folks. And we were like, what with? And they said, well, when, you know, because there were people there that weren't us. We were there as fans, no contracts, anything like that. But there were people there like Instagram, TikTok, you know, travel blogs, things of that nature. And they're under legitimate contracts. So they had, you know, requirements to post and such. Like, these things are going to be posted. People are going to talk about it, show pictures, clips and stuff. And people on Twitter of time are going to see Sean Chan soldiers inside the Tarvalon set, like, you know, the streets of Tarvalon. And Twitter time, they lose their mind over things occasionally. They get a little worked up about things, you know, who's Steve? You know, Waygate's over Ouroboros, you know, things like, we get fixated on things sometimes. It's the smallest things.
Just a little bit.
And they were like, they're going to see this and Twitter time's going to freak. And we need you to be like, just chill. Just props, just for fun. Like, we just set up for the people there. It's not there's not a filming thing. This is not like sneak peek at the sets in terms of like filming days. This is, you know, actors put there to dramatic effect, you know, that's it. Nothing else. I think I turned around. I was like, well, I might give it half an hour first before I say that, you know. I might give it a hot second, you know, let Twitter just rage a bit and then be like, actually, I was there and it's not. but yeah, we didn't get to see like the bit where like Maxim, Ivan and Nynaeve sort of practice. But we did see the stunt folks, Alice, and I forget the names of the two guys, actually perform the initial sort of previs stunt section for that particular fight between the three of them. So that was very, very cool. But yeah, it's I look forward to putting that together. I recorded myself each day of my thoughts of the thing, and it was a pretty crazy trip. So yeah, look forward to that. But yeah, Twitter's it's been so quiet. They're definitely waiting for something, hopefully good stuff, not bad stuff. I've been trawling through and I can't find anything that's been going on. They've been way too well behaved. Twitter, you're scaring me.
Are you traveling or are you doing a show this Thursday?
There will be a show this Thursday as far as I'm aware, but because I have to go to London very early on the Friday, I probably will not be on the show. But sure. I just need to coordinate with This is the beauty of having co-hosts and making sure they have the power to do the show without you. Occasionally there's a maiden takeover. So that might be what happens Thursday. So we'll have some fun. All right. Well, we'll wrap up with some more questions, Spuds, and hopefully, you know, get to know you even more. So we've just talked Twitter. You joined Twitter around season one. And I know most people tend to have the Twitter alert set on for the Wheel of Time account. So that when they post, we know. Do you do that for any accounts? Like, do you get notified if like what series posts anything, or are you just a case of like, I'll just open Twitter and scroll through?
I usually just open Twitter and scroll through because there's a lot of people who have their ears to the wall. They're listening for some sort of rustling or whatever. I've turned off notifications on a lot of things. And funny enough, I've never had my notifications on for Twitter for it being me, but I've been in the Hinder stream probably for a year and a half, 2 years, and I haven't muted it yet. I just let it roll.
Wow. You just let that roll?
Yeah. Like I said, early on, I had interactions with Maury a bit, and I responded to something he said, and he's like, welcome to the Hinder stream. Have a cookie.
And they're big on snacks in the Hinder stream. I know that. Yeah. I interviewed them once. Of them. I think there was six of us, seven, something like that. But you haven't turned it off in a year and a half.
Nope. Only ones that I have on, I have your Discord on, and I have Lightswork Discord on, and they might be dark friends. They don't say much currently.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
So the Black Tower pod I turned off when they had their Gathering Madness because it was just blowing up my phone.
Yeah, occasionally I do like I got to mute for 8 hours. You know, like you get a bit busy, leave me alone. You know,
so So I've kept it to a lot yours and the lights work.
Oh, I appreciate that. That's very kind. I totally was going to say something now and I forgot what that was. thank God for editing. God, what was I going to say, Spuds? So we talked about notification. Oh, the Hinder Stream. There we go. What is the Hinder Stream up to these days? Like, it's been, like I say, I got rid of the notifications a long time ago. Like, is there like a main discussion thing there at the moment?
I don't know. They just had their anniversary on Saturday and I did not attend. I saw there was a notification. I don't know if they're even aware of me. I'm Moggy, the Hinder Stream.
Right.
I'm like back in the shadows, just watching things roll. So
nice.
But I don't know. I know they were up to events this weekend, and I couldn't tell you what. I just know they had their anniversary. I didn't have time to drop in on that. But
fair. I might have to post and be like, "Hey, Hinder Stream, how you doing? Long time to see. What you up to?" Might have to take that risk.
Seen people come and go. Kevin was big on Hinder Stream for a while, but
he was. I remember him. Yeah,
he's involved himself in so much that I don't know how he does it. So
people say I do a lot. No, Kev,
I do too. You do a lot. There's a couple people that I don't know how you guys do it.
I don't do anywhere near as much as I used to. Kev came in and took that mantle very clearly and very. I'm more than happy for him to have that mantle. Like
Kev came to Twitter. He started running. I think I saw him in April of last year, and then it became September of last year. He was like August. He's like, "Does anybody like football? Does anybody want to start a fantasy football league?" And so he started up a fantasy football league with that. We got like Ocean Ogier and we got Dane.
Dane.
So we got I got a good dozen of us doing fantasy football. We're in the second year on that. So
amazing.
That guy, I tell you, he's hopped on so much. I don't know how he does it.
He's insane. He's like a full-time member of Tavalon After Dark podcast. Right. You know, him and I occasionally do a show together, the Lego Talks. That's very infrequent. We just sort of fit it in when the two of us have time. We were going to do that for Wild Holiday, actually. We're going to do I got inspired by the Hamad acting class. And I said to Kev, hey, should we do skits instead? Like, people can like donate money and suggest like characters and situations for us to do a skit about, and you and I just act shit out on the stream. He's like, yes, let's absolutely do that.
You know who was great at that at a WattCon? Sulin was excellent. It was Kevin was on that too.
Yeah, you say that because I'm at Sulin's for the weekend. I was like, hey, Beck, do you want to join in? She's like, yes, let's do this. Yes. And then now I need to see, actually, because I think I set up a chat for the three of us called Skits of Time, because it just seems, you know, why not, a fun name. And here we go. Okay, so I was like, thought this could be helpful. I'm giving away the secrets now, folk, for coordinating how we sell skits.
This is after the show.
No, I want to leave a teaser there. And first comment Sulin puts in there, I hear nudity cells. So folks, there's your teaser. But yeah, Kev does so much. And Kev he's a wonderful person. So yeah, folks, go a day to go be like, hey, Hinder Stream, I hear you're worth joining, and see what happens. You might you might enjoy it, folks. You might regret it. It might be both. Okay, Spuds. Another question I love to ask people here. It's one that I get a full range of answers for. But it's whatever works for each person is obviously the best answer for them. And I just love to hear people's thoughts about it. We're all here because we like to read. However frequently you manage that. But when, in your opinion, Spuds, is the best time to read?
Wow. And I know a lot of people like to answer Audible books are like a savior for them. And that is me in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's very valid.
I used to be able to read maybe two or three books in a year just because finding the time is hard. But if I can throw an Audible book on while I'm commuting to work, So for me, it's either commute or it's weekend tours, you know, cleaning the house, doing the laundry, mowing the lawn, you know, doing whatever I have to do. And then last month it was the drawing, you know, so
yes,
just being able to have hands free, not have to focus on words. I just, you know, I love reading books, and I'm reading The Blade Itself right now in a physical book. I set it down, you know, I'll be coming back to it in a month.
I was going to follow it up when you started with the audible things. Like, do you listen to 3 to 4 chapters and then not listen to the audiobook for a few months? Or is it different because it's audible?
No, but no, it isn't. You know, that's this morning I got an audible book, and I listened to it. And again, it just, you got a different author, you got a different world you're absorbing, you got a different narrator that has a different rhythm, and just, you're just digesting all this information. And I feel like I miss out on bits and pieces. And so I feel if I cycle back, I've already kind of have the premise of what's going on. And then all of a sudden it all clicks. It just sets in for me.
Wow. Okay. I love that. And it's Michael and Kate who do Mistborn. Is it
just Michael?
Okay, because I know that. Yeah, I know they still do some together, but I couldn't remember
on that one on Twitter. I told them how much I love them, and she's like, "Oh, but Michael just does that one." And I said, "Yeah, but you're still wonderful."
Did you meet them at WattCon? Did you get that opportunity?
Yes. Oh. I got to buy Kate a drink, and I got to chat with Michael for a while. He just sat up there and was available to everyone. It was incredible.
Yeah, they're a wonderful pair. I think, and Michael Livingston's also an incredible guy. Could chat to him for hours. Have chatted to him for hours. You know, shared gin with him. He's a wonderful guy. But I remember WattCon, not just this year, but WattCon last year. Yeah, I think it was WattCon last year. Michael didn't stay up the first night, like the Friday night. Michael didn't stay up. Kate's up till like 4 or 5 in the morning. Kate's a party animal. She's wild, isn't she? Like, you can't stop her. But Michael stayed up the second night, the Saturday night. He stayed up, and there must have been about 5-6 of us sat around, just those seats that are like close to the bar area, but not quite there. And it's not like the main space. It was like, you know, it was the first set of seats that are in where the bar is, but they're not like up in the bar, if you get what I'm saying. And there must have been 5-6 of us sat around, and Michael, whilst making everyone feel included and able to, you know, interact with the conversation, kind of just, I don't know, held court sounds arrogant, but it's not what he wasn't. It was very, you know, like I say, everyone, it was a flowing conversation, but like the whole focus was Michael, and he was just sharing so much, like just insights, you know, experiences, stories, and he's just so much fun.
He was in his element. He was feeling comfortable, and everybody just wanted to listen to what he had to say. Mm-hmm. So I think in a way, yeah, he was the center focus, but everybody wanted that.
Yes.
My experience on the second, on the one I went to.
Yeah. He's just they're both wonderful. I actually, now that I've managed to get back into reading properly again, now that I've finished struggling through Oathbringer, because I've struggled with Stormlight. I'm very vocal about, not vocal about that, but I don't hide that fact.
You haven't even started Stormlight yet, so.
Oh, it's a lot. And we read real time. I like big books, but it's a lot.
You set it down for 3 or 4 months.
I might try that, because I haven't done Riven of War yet. I'm not going to get that till next year, I don't think. Other things to pay for. So I might... I might do that, like 3 or 4 chapters, put it down, I'll spuds it, you know, give it the spud treatment. Let's see how we go. But yeah, they're wonderful. I've got a book. I got it last Christmas, because someone heard Michael talking about the book, narrating it. And he, you know, what an incredible thing it was to narrate. And he loves the way the writer created the world and how he told the story and such. And it's I think I'm about halfway through it. But again, reading was a struggle when I put it down. So now that I feel back, I'm back into it, I might do that, because just talking about that reminded me of that that experience and that story. So yeah, love that. Yeah. So Audiobooks is still reading, so don't worry about that.
Oh no, I don't feel guilty about that. There's always that question initially, but you know, I consume so much more. I can have conversations. I can think about it and digest it, have provoking thoughts about it if I want to. It's consuming the product, and that's what it, you know, whether it's, you know, in written form. I got past that long ago.
Good. Because I would have to quote Kate here. As Kate, I can't remember if Kate said it in person or if she said it back in the day when they came on my podcast, back when I used to do theories before season one. They came on one time, we were talking about like narrating and things like that. I was there with Vance, and Zul was there as well. It was the five of us together. And Kate pointed out that originally stories, you know, people consume their stories by listening to someone telling the story. That was the original experience of stories, was a storyteller, you know, like a Gleeman. And so by listening to audible books, you know, or any form of audible book, you are still listening, you know, still reading, you're hearing a story, whatever, it still applies because, well, that was the original. So none of this like, well, you know, if you're not reading a physical book, you're not reading, because, well, actually reading a physical book came second. Listening to someone tell a story came first. So, yeah, I'm glad you're past that. All right, Spuds, one last question. I say this, it's not always the last question. Sometimes it spurns other questions. But I love this because it usually gives, it could be something insightful, could be something funny, could be whatever you feel like. But what is a question, Spuds, that you wish I had asked you during this recording? And how would you have answered that question?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I know I've heard you ask this one, but... I thank God for editing, right?
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yeah. I was telling you, can take your time. There's no rush. It's fine.
Oh. Question that I wish you had asked me. I mean, you asked a lot of questions, a lot of good questions. We didn't even touch on drawing stuff, which is fine. You got a whole show on that, so
we do, yeah, folks. If we've mentioned drawing a couple times. If you want to know more details, folks, about the October stuff, you can check out Threefold Talk. Okay,
so I'll turn it this way.
What
I wish that you had asked me that you hadn't? Maybe what am I up to, or what projects am I thinking of now? I guess.
Okay, so yeah, what projects? What are you thinking of? What's on the game plan?
It's one of those things where you kind of have to, you get a lot of ideas and you want to try and focus in on something, and I can't because, you know, I have to have three or four different projects going on at the same time. I think I told you on the show that I did come up with a Wada Holiday song, in that I do, or not a Wada Holiday, Wada Idol song. And I want to animate it. So I'm currently storyboarding that. So I'm hoping to have that all storyboarded by the end of the week.
Amazing.
But one of the projects I've been thinking of, I don't know if you've ever wanted those dust jackets on the big hardbacks, and you look at the which is the popular dust jacket that everybody gets?
I know the ones you're talking about. They gave them away as a prize at Thirst, Wild Idol. Juniper covers?
Yes.
Is that what they're called? Covers. Yeah, the juniper covers,
you
yes.
You look at it and it's like, oh man, that's just crazy. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to draw my own art or my own covers, because that'd just be, you know, artists are hired to do that, and I'm not going to try and one-up something and make it not look as, you know, good, or it's, you know, art subjective and stuff like that. But one of the things I was thinking about doing is, I've always wanted to try to, you know, you see people do it all the time. I wanted to try to do the leather bounding, or a leather jacket.
And, oh, wow. And,
across the back spine, I want to get all the hardbacks, and across the back spine, I want to do something that you kind of highlighted a little bit, was chapter icons.
Right.
And so I want to do the big sprawling dragon icon, chapter icon across the back.
Amazing.
But I think each book I want to either come up with either I could use a book icon or maybe that's where I could be a little bit creative, but make it like a chapter icon type cover where on the front of the book, there's an icon style drawing, mm-hmm. either something that pertains to the book or is stolen from a chapter icon. I'm not sure yet where to go with that, but I think I want to try experimenting with that and seeing if I can do that for a project.
That sounds amazing. And you would do this on leather, like on as a leather bound piece.
On leather, I'm thinking I'd do some woodworked plates that I can emboss through. So
if wow.
I nail it the way that I want to, I might be able to not mass produce, but produce a couple.
This is incredible because this is reminding me, and here we go, folks. This is why it's not always the last question because sometimes we get questions from it. And this is just reminding me because I was sending you messages earlier chatting about this and like then send you a link. And I looked at the About Me section on your Discord. It just popped up in our chat. And it says artwork, especially rough drawings. I always send your artwork. It's great. Animations, big into DIY projects and woodwork. And I just remember this. So you're a carpenter? Is that what you're telling us there? Or you...
another show. I wanted to become an animator. So I was an art major, theater minor. Whole different story. Right. Ended up getting into woodworking because I lived in Oregon. It was an easy vocation to get into. And now I moved to Colorado, not wanting to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Went back to woodworking here. And we do everything from cabinets and countertops to reception desks and grand staircases and wall paneling and entries. Anything that dresses a building, our company makes. So,
wow.
But since I've been doing it for 25 years, I don't know how long, longer than that probably. I have all the tools. I've learned how to do all the ins and outs of most things. So if it comes to building something or making something, I've been down that road and it's, you know, something I tinker with at home as well, you know, when I'm not at work.
And so, that includes like making embossing plates. And that's,
I haven't made embossing in place. I've worked leather a little bit, but right. I know that you could make an embossing plate and people might laser something out of metal or something like that, but I know I could make it out of wood. That's my default. If I can make it, I'm going to make it out of wood. So I probably make a CNC cutout, a plate, reverse plate or whatever that I can put leather on and use as to emboss the image. That's what I'm hoping. I haven't tried it yet. Everything in my mind says it should work. So I'm going to experiment with that. And if I can make it look right and look well, then like I said, maybe I'll make a couple extra sets. So.
That sounds incredible. Well, not to toot my own horn, but there is a glory to the builders section in my Discord server where you could post that journey, sir, and show us your embossing plate progress. Glory to the builders? Is that what it's actually called now that I've said this? You know, when you say things, you're like, wait, is that true? Yeah, glory to the builders. Napane has been posting, she does a lot of 3D printing, so does Nils. Yes. And she's been doing a lot of making coasters out of the book chapter icons.
Yeah, she's been doing the two-tone printing or two-color printing.
Yeah. To something like that. She made Dark One seals for us at MercuryCon. I've got a magnet in my fridge of that. It's so cute. She does a lot of this stuff, bless her. She keeps saying like, sorry to spam you all. I am going back to work after maternity in like 3 weeks or something. So you'll see me a bit less after that, but I just want to fill the time. So if you get like buildy there and you like start, you know, tinkering with things, feel free to throw it in there, sir. You know, I'd be very curious about that. So yeah, that is probably the most interesting thing of the entire recording, getting to know that, you know, not only are you like handy and good with the wood dressing and that for, you know, cabinets and staircases and things like that, but you know that you're skilled enough and you know crazy enough, because these things take a lot of time and effort to go off and create your own embossing plates for leatherwork. That's so creative, and I love that, Spuds. So thank you for sharing that. You know, I appreciate it.
We'll see how it turns out.
Well, I look forward to however it turns out, so don't worry about that. But yeah, I think that's about it. I feel like I've stolen enough of your time. Folks, if you want to see this embossing stuff that hopefully Spuds decides to share with us, you need to join the Discord server. But you can go and follow Spuds on Twitter. Let me make sure I get this right, because I didn't look at this, and is it screaming? No.
Underscore Gorsigner or something like that.
Yeah. And then like your Twitter name is Screaming Spud Monkey. And if you want to know, Spuds, you know what we didn't talk about that the fandom got up to? Now that I've just gone to your Twitter page. What did Mel do? How do we not talk about this? Oh my God. You know what I'm talking about now, don't you?
Well, yeah. Thank God for editing, right?
No, I'm going to leave this at the end. This is the best bit. Folks, if you're not familiar, Jessica, I'm having a mind blank now. Jessica, who plays the voice, Jessica Boone, thank you, who plays the voice in The Wheel of Time Season 2 for Soroth, decided to post a picture of herself as in full makeup. Arwen is unleashed and coming to dinner. Who will swear the oaths and binge watch The Wheel of Time and Prime Video this holiday weekend? And you're filling the hashtags. And it's her in costume, the face mask included, the big rolls of hair on the two sides. And she's eating, like, it looks like a strawberry on a fork or something. Mel quote tweeted her and did her own version of it, including toilet rolls on, you know, the two sides of her head. I'm animating my hands here, like you can see what I'm talking about. Spuds can, obviously. And she's got, like, looks like a cherry on a plastic fork. And then she's holding a barbecue grill or something like that, you know, like a grill mesh thing in front of her face, as if that's like the you know, imitation of mask. And it you know, she put, "The voice has called on all of us to accept the hashtag swear to binge challenge. I swear by my hope of salvation and rebirth to binge." And it just kind of spawned from there. Bane and Shea, Bane and Shea did it. I did it. Obviously, Spuds did it. Spuds, yours is great. You're wearing a motorcycle helmet. You've put two toilet rolls on your head, and you've got what you have on the fork?
It's a
grape. That's a big grape. That's either that or it's very close to the camera. So it's great. So you did that. I say Bane and Shea did it. I did it. And you see how many
there were a lot of people. Rebecca from Reading the Pattern did it.
Yes. Ashokova did it. People did it. Yeah, all sorts of things. And people got creative.
Big Lady did it a day or two ago. Nice. A little bit.
Yeah, there were people using like various rackings. Uno did it with a skeleton. Alonwi had some kind of tinsel thing. Yeah, Goat Brother did it. I can't remember what Goat Brother used. Aurelia Peter did it with like a thing. Oh, there we go. Goat Brother did it with like a mini sledge thing that, you know, like a winter sledge. Bane and Shea did it with like a shower, one of those shower things. Put her hair up in rollers and stuff. It was just fucking hilarious. Morgan did it. Podcast of the Dragon used like a desk, little mesh thing. It was hilarious. It was so much fun. Illuminatrix. I'm scrolling through the hashtag now. It's a lot of fun. Ed Lake did it by putting like a washing basket on his head. I did it. I was at work at the time and I did it using kitchen equipment.
I tried to figure out how to do it at work, but when you're the boss and you're trying to sneak into a corner to do a Wheel of Time photo, it's like, if I get caught doing this, how do I explain this?
yeah, that's a good point. I was working with a new guy and I was like, look, I'm gonna do something real weird in a second. I had to give him context and he thought it was hilarious. So So I can't believe that we talked about what the Phantom got to. Nah, they've been quiet. They've done nothing. We completely didn't talk about that. Oh, God.
You know, Rob, if any of the Foldies are reposing pictures, I'm just glad I, you know, didn't have to go down to dad bod this time. So.
Yeah, you were one of the ones that joined. Yeah, again, Mel said she was inspired by me. Like, Mel, you did this off your own back. It's not because of me. But yeah, I decided one week to. This is how we got the snack water calendar, actually, that we're revealing next weekend or this weekend if you're listening on release time. I decided to recreate one of Taylor's poses, and it kind of. I didn't expect it to happen, but then it like multiple people decided to recreate it as well, and then Brian came up with the idea that we do a whole calendar. So yeah. The fan, like we say, we get stuck on little things. Interesting things happen, and we're like, "Yeah, let's run with it." So, but you did that.
Foldy's throwing out a challenge. I'm there. So
yeah, and your photo was great, Spud. Seriously, so don't feel bad about it. It was a great picture, and I appreciate you getting involved. So, all right. So that really is it, folks. Thank you for sticking around as we remember. Actually, wait, there was stuff we did on Twitter this week, and we got to know Spuds a little better, which I love doing. So please, if you see Spuds at any conventions or hanging around, or if you get brave enough to join a Hinder stream, I'm sure Spuds will hold your hand as you experience that. Please do, because he's a wonderful guy, and just a pleasure to talk to and get to know. So thank you for your time. I appreciate that. Folks, please go like the podcast, rate it, come find me on YouTube, become a Foldie, join us 3Thought Talk pretty much every Thursday. We miss a couple here and there for like things like Thanksgiving, and we take some time off for the holidays and such. But yeah, come and join us, become a Foldie, and you know, come and join us over on Twitter. There's 3Thought Talk, obviously Spuds and myself, Marco Talks, and yeah, we can just have some fun. And come and join us, because I will get this out on Saturday. Come and join us tonight. No matter where you're listening, actually, when you get a bit further east than Europe, it becomes Sunday, so tomorrow. But come and join us for what holiday, folks. It starts at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, December 2nd. We run for technically 25 hours because I decided, I think, in the second year that the committee should do half hour before the stream and half hour after the stream, but still have a 24-hour stream outside of those 30 minutes. So technically we do 25 hours, but 24 hours of shows. I've signed up for 4 of them. I don't know how I managed that. 3Fold Talk will not be making disgusting soups this year. So hopefully Leia will not be throwing up.
That was rough
last year. But yeah, come and join us for that, folks. We've got amazing giveaways. It does not matter if you're not in a position to donate. That's absolutely okay. Join in the fun, share it around, you know, just raise awareness. We're supporting the Lightweaver Foundation as we do every year, but we're also splitting the funds this year and helping the Community Entertainment Fund, because even though the strikes are over, thank God, they're still in need of help, because just because the strikes ended doesn't mean suddenly there's cash pouring in for everybody and they can pay their bills. It's a service that, you know, the community in that industry needs, even when things are not on strikes and everything's rolling around nicely. So please come and join us, have fun, share the love around for that. And yeah, I think that's about it. So thank you again, Spuds. I'm so glad we could organize this, because I tried initially and then it was bad timing. Things couldn't work out. So I'm glad we could pull it together, and I hope you've had fun.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime.
Wonderful. Yeah, and that's it, folks. So go enjoy your evenings, get ready for What a Holiday, and until next time, or until What a Holiday, please go out and find love, water, and shade.
Thank you so much for listening to Malkia's Wrap-Up. If you'd like to support me, please head over to Patreon, where you can sign up and listen to the podcast as I record each week at any level. And thank you so much. Please follow the account on Twitter, join me on YouTube once in a while, and leave a comment and tell me what you liked and what I missed, because I'm sure there was plenty. But until next time, folks, please find love, water, and shade.